Welcome to the Memory Distillery, everyone. I'm Anthony Veneri.
And I'm John Deck, and each week we will malt, mash, ferment, and distill our way through the spirits of our past in the form of long-loved movies.
Except for this week, we're doing a special episode that we are calling the Nostradamus 2021 episode.
The world-famous mid-year Nostradamus,
yep.
Roscoe's edition. Ahoy!
That's right. That what John said is right.
The thing
that's
everybody what, we, wants more of.
We do it every year, and this year will be no exception. We don't go back and verify that.
No, this is definitely done every single year this year.
It sure is.
So what we're doing here, if you couldn't guess or aren't putting the pieces together, you know, we're celebrating that we've survived a year. It hasn't been a year. It's only been a year and a half. Oh man, but we made it through half of 2021, but you know, that doesn't really stop us from wondering what's next. And with all of these post-pandemic releases, things that have been delayed and pushed back, and there's just a lot of stuff coming out in the next 6 months. And you know what? We're not above declaring right now what will be the best and what you should avoid. So we thought, as a service to all of our faithful listeners, we should just go right ahead and tell you exactly, you know, like which movie sequels to see, who's going to win the Oscars, things like that. We call them Roscoes, but other people call them Oscars. You know how it is.
Yep, that's how we do. We call them the Roscoes. That one is true. You can go back and find that episode. So yeah, John and I are going to make some predictions about the stuff that's coming out through the end of the year. You know, best stream movies, which performances are going to be good. We'll talk a little bit about the comic book movies that are coming out, stuff like that. So John, where do you want to start?
Let's start with some softballs. Let's talk about some superhero/comic book movies on the horizon.
I like that idea.
Not necessarily limiting ourselves just to Marvel, but within that range there. But yeah, I think, and I don't want this to just be us talking about a million different things we're excited about, or just doing a rundown of every movie and all that stuff, because that's not what this is about. This is about us getting right down to the point and telling people what they need to know. And what I need to know from you, Anthony, is what is going to be the best comic book / superhero movie that's going to come out this year?
Oh boy, that's a tough question.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty, especially considering sort of everything that the pandemic threw at us and caused to be delayed, we do have a fairly good little slate of Marvel and DC movies that are coming out. You got Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and the Legend of the Ten Rings. You have the Eternals. You have Spider-Man No Way Home, the Suicide Squad, Venom. Yep. So there's a good set of movies that are coming out now. In all the words that I just said, I forgot the question.
What's the best one going to be?
Oh, the best one obviously is going to be Spider-Man No Way Home. There's no question of that.
Now let me bring up throw a wrench into your answer, perhaps.
Okay.
Has there ever been a third Spider-Man movie that's been any good?
I'm glad you asked, because
yeah.
The answer is no.
Hmm.
But to be fair, there's only been one third Spider-Man movie that I know of, which is the emo Tobey Maguire movie.
Bully Maguire.
So given that, I mean, there's not a very high bar for a third Spider-Man movie. So really, we'd have to be talking about Tom Holland taking a shit on the fucking Empire State Building for this to be a bad movie. I think that this is going to be, if the previous two Spider-Man colon home movies are any indication.
Spider-Man colon blow?
Yeah, colon blow.
That was a funny Saturday Night Live commercials.
The aforementioned shit on the Empire State Building will be brought to you by colon blow. No, the current incarnation of Spider-Man movies, if they're any indication, this is going to be a good movie. Now, my question to you, John Deck, knowing that Spider-Man is going to be the best of the Marvel lineup, or the best superhero movie, what's going to be the second best Marvel movie behind Spider-Man?
Well, first of all, you're not going to get out of your answer that quickly. I do need a quick follow-up before I answer your question, and that is, on a scale of 1 to 10, I need you to rate the previous two Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland.
Oh, okay. I will say that Spider-Man Homecoming, is that the first one?
Yep.
Spider-Man Homecoming, I will give a 7 out of 10. And I will say that, no, sorry, I'll give that an 8 out of 10, and I will give Spider-Man Far From Home a 7.5 out of 10.
So it's interesting, you're so confident in this third movie in this trilogy when you thought the other ones were perfectly fine or even good, but not like amazing or exceptional. Is that fair?
Yeah, and maybe I'm being a little conservative with my numbers here, but I'm also looking at the remainder of the Marvel slate for 2021, and so I'm trying to, I don't know, maybe bolster my confidence in No Way Home. But anyhow.
Well, fair enough. You answered my riddle, so you get to cross the bridge. Is that what we were doing? I can't remember.
If you are a troll, yes. Okay. No, what is the second best Marvel movie going to be this year?
Well, here's an interesting statement I'd like to make. There's potential for an upset.
I'm listening.
Suicide Squad, this version, which, first of all, come on. It takes some balls to just call your movie Suicide Squad when there was the Suicide Squad.
And so this is the Suicide Squad. So they've added a word, and I think that's probably how they're going to do all the subsequent Suicide Squad films. So, like, the Suicide Squad.
Those be all articles and see, Suicide Squad.
See the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Come see the Suicide Squad. Come see the Suicide Squad. So it's going to be a building on words and like a reverse sentence building.
Well, you've definitely made some noises come out of your mouth right there, but I'll get back to actual points. James Gunn is going to take this franchise, as I'd like to call it, and elevate it about 114% better than the previous Suicide Squad. Is that going to be hard to do? No.
No.
But that's why...
I will say I did like the previous Suicide Squad, but...
Yeah, because you're a weirdo.
I am.
But I think there's something to be said for the madness that James Gunn brings to a project like this, which I feel is going to bring some of the sensibility of Guardians of the Galaxy with some of the sensibilities of a movie like Slither. You know, it's going to be R-rated. It's going to be, you know, a bit over the top. It's going to be more in your face than, like, say, the Guardians of the Galaxy, for example. He's going to be a little unleashed, but he's going to retain that weirdness that lets him just kind of go crazy with some, you know, underrated, underutilized characters and just have fun with it. And, you know, if virtually anyone else was tied to this project directing it, I don't think I'd really have much of an interest in it. But who am I kidding? I'd see it anyway, even if I didn't think it was going to be good. I mean, I'm going to see Venom 2, but I have no expectations of enjoying it. It's just, it's, I got to do it. But yeah, that's my non-Marvel movie that I think is going to just be surprising. I think it's going to be its own independent thing, even though it's, you know, obviously DC connected in certain ways. The DC EU is more of a myth than a real thing anyway, but yeah, so I've only seen one of the trailers. I'm not really trying to see too much of it. I just want to be surprised with the lunacy, and I think that'll be a interesting, weird, and fun, refreshing film. That's my guess.
I agree with that. Sticking strictly to Marvel, what's the next sort of biggest behind Spider-Man?
Well, like I said, I don't want to get too much into like going down and talking about every movie because there's so many movies coming out. I'll say
we're not going to, but I'm curious. Like,
I'll just say this
pedestal that Spider-Man is on. Like,
I'm going to make a bold prediction here because Marvel movies are generally fairly safe. I think the Eternals is going to suck.
Oh, for sure.
I would love to be wrong on that, but it seems like a mess, but
the trailer instilled zero confidence in anybody.
Yeah. So. But what I am very excited about, largely tying to the reoccurring theme on the Memory Distillery, which is us talking about, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan, and getting to see what Marvel does with Shang-Chi. Like, I'm very hopeful. I hope I have every confidence that the lessons they didn't learn, say in the Iron Fist series, they're gonna pull back into in this one and have actually, so far from the trailer, the choreography for the fight scenes looks pretty impressive. It doesn't look like a lot of jilted cuts where their heads aren't in the shot and, you know, like that kind of garbage.
Well, a lot of like editing, touching the camera and stuff, yeah, like that.
It looks, you know, and even if there's a touch of wire work, you know, and CG blended into the fighting, that's fine with me. And I really, the whole Ten Rings saga, I'm really curious how they're going to translate that, because typically, I mean, the Ten Rings goes back to like the Mandarin, who's more known as being an Iron Man villain, and we saw him kind of in Iron Man 3, although deciphering what we really saw versus what we thought that we saw.
The whole fucking movie was a shit show.
That was a bit of a mess. But that being said, I really, Shang-Chi, I'm looking forward to that a little bit even more so than Spider-Man, only because it's such an unknown. So it's like there's like freedom, and maybe I'll be just blown away and delighted with it. And that's what I want to hope for.
And I don't have a lot of like knowledge on the Ten Ring saga or anything like that. So I'm kind of going into that fresh face. So I'm pretty excited for it too. Awkwafina's in it too, and she's fucking hilarious. So
yeah.
I'm pretty big on that. All right, let's move on from comic books. We've been on comic books for like 3 hours now. Let's talk about money.
Oh, you want money?
I want money. I want to talk about money. I want to talk about what movie. Maybe we'll save this for the last.
Okay. What do you hear that? Do you hear that sound? There is a breaking news story coming right through the
podcast waves. There's the podcast waves.
Pod waves. And my dot matrix printer, which makes a different noise than a telegraph. I don't know what the first noise was that we heard, but hey, I don't make the noises. They just happen. We record and report on them. But I got a correspondence piece right in front of me from the future, and it just flat out tells me what movie is going to win Best Picture for the Oscars next year.
Oh, shit.
And it's not what I would have picked, but it's signed from the future for real. And so, you know, that's like, you can't scam that kind of thing. So I have the right answer, but I think it's only fair to give you a shot to guess what you think the Best Picture winner is going to be from the Oscars. From, you know, pull it, you know, this is the Nostradamus edition for a reason, and you've got to get that prophecy engine lit up, as the kids say.
Okay, so let me look through here real quick. I'm just scrolling through all the releases from 2021. I'm going to say In the Heights. I'm going to say that Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to ride the wave of popularity of Hamilton and pull out an Oscars upset in this year's running.
Well, let me consult this piece of actual paper I have in front of me. Here, let me look at this piece of paper that has the answer on it. And, sorry, you're wrong. Now, it's no secret. You and I both really, really enjoyed this movie quite a bit. And I do see, I don't want to get into this because I don't want to share too much of the future with you because I don't know if you can handle it. There is a little note in here that Anthony Ramos, you know, is going to be nominated for Best Actor, though. So that should be,
that doesn't surprise me at all.
That should make you feel better. But no, he won't win, and the movie won't win. But sure. I'll just let you feel good and let you think that maybe it'll be nominated. Okay.
Sure.
The actual answer is a movie I had not even heard of until like 2 days ago. And I want to set this up for you because when I read this, when I heard about this movie, this is what I, first I saw a description, then I saw who was directing it, and then I saw who was in it. So that's what I want to tell you right now, okay?
Okay.
An ambitious carny with a talent for manipulating people with a few well-chosen words hooks up with the female psychiatrist who is even more dangerous than he is.
Okay.
Directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, shit.
Starring Cate Blanchett, Bradley Cooper, Rooney Mara, Richard Jenkins, Toni Collette, Willem Dafoe, Mary Steenburgen, Ron Perlman, and more.
Wow.
The movie is called Nightmare Alley, and it is going to win Best Picture at the Oscars 2022. It
better with that whole package there, like between the casting and Guillermo del Toro attached to it, and just the very brief one line synopsis you gave me, I would certainly nominate it.
No trailers out for yet or anything, but that's the winner. So hey, now you know.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm shocked into silence. Like that's a big prediction, a big bold.
I read what I got. I can't claim that myself. It's just the future sent it to me. So that was pretty heavy. I mean, I do have info on who's going to win like Best Actor and Best Actress. I just don't know if you want to get into predicting that level of things or not.
No, we'll move on from that. We could be here all night discussing the upcoming Roscoes.
Well, let's move on then. And touch on a topic I know that's near and dear to our hearts because we create these on our podcast. We listen, we watch these on our podcast. I'm talking about sequels.
Oh, yes.
There are a lot of sequels that are coming out.
Holy shit, there are. Just a few of them here. F9, Space Jam, A New Legacy, Escape Room 2, which I didn't even know that there was an Escape Room 1, Venom 2, Halloween Kills, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Top Gun Maverick, there's a Resident Evil sequel, Spider-Man, The Matrix 4, Sing 2. There's a ton of sequels coming out this year.
So I think maybe in the interest, again, of keeping things relatively concise, what I would like is I want to hear which sequel you have the most hope for. The most that you really hope it's going to be amazing, even if you don't 100% believe it, but that you would really love for it to be a great movie.
Oh, man. I mean, there's a few, right? Like, there's franchises that...
I want one.
I know you want one. I'm talking myself through it. There's franchises that are just deeply beloved, and we've featured some on this show. So it's like there's a lot to be hopeful of with a lot of these. I think probably the one that I'm the most hopeful for, that I'm the most anticipating and really just believe in my movie heart of hearts that it's going to be everything that we want it to be and more, is Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I thought you were going to say Sing 2.
I mean, Sing 2 is probably going to be pretty dope too. Like, I liked the first Sing, to be honest. So,
no, I like your pick though. I think that there was so much backlash with the all female cast Ghostbusters that the idea of doing another Ghostbusters, a lot of people are like, I don't know if I want one now, but come on.
I mean, you've got Paul Rudd, you've got Finn Wolfhard, you've got as much of the original cast as you possibly can get in some way, shape, or form attached to this movie. Ivan Reitman's kid directed it and wrote it. Like, it's going to be really hard to fuck this up. And granted, it could happen. This could totally get fucked up. But I'm really, truly, deeply hoping that it goes well.
I like your optimism because I have similar hopes. I think there's really strong potential there. My pick, same question.
Yeah, what is your pick?
Comes from a place of darkness. It comes from a hope born out of desperation and sadness. And I don't even believe my own words when I say that I have hope for this movie. And yet, I say The Matrix 4.
Okay. So here's my thing with The Matrix 4. We've seen nothing.
Right.
There's been not even a teaser trailer. There hasn't been any bit of promotional material for this outside of Lana Wachowski saying, I'm making The Matrix 4, and this is who's attached to it.
And that Lawrence Fishburne's not in it.
And that Lawrence Fishburne is not attached to it. And so, like, there's just this void of information, and maybe it's super secretive, and maybe Lana Wachowski is just like, I'm not telling you shit about this movie until it's ready to come out. And that's fine. That's on her. She can do that. But is this actually going to come out this year? My prediction is that it gets pushed to summer 2020. This is going to...
It's going to go back in time?
Sorry, 2022.
Oh,
this is going to get pushed to summer 2022, and is going to be... it's going to be marketed as the biggest summer movie of 2022, and it's going to flop.
It's not going to be good. I'm just so not thinking that there's really room for the storytelling to combine.
This is a sequel that nobody asked for.
Well, and it's like, are they going to try to do a sequel / reboot type of deal? And, you know, if you have the right writer and you have the right stunt team and the right effects, maybe this could just blow people's mind and be like, I had no clue this was coming. How is this possible? This goes against all odds. And that is the kind of story I want to believe in. So that's why I picked The Matrix 4, not because I'm genuinely excited.
The Matrix, the new class.
Yeah.
All right.
After all, honestly, I gotta say, and backing up, let's say what happened with the Fast and Furious when you hit the fourth movie. People said it was mostly a washed up series, and all of a sudden it got better and became a giant, huge blockbuster franchise that no one really had anticipated after, you know, the drifting.
That is true. Like, Fast and Furious turned into this like too big to fail franchise. And so I will give it that. Like, the Matrix 4, maybe this is the turning point for the franchise, but who knows?
So that being said, what's your next question?
My next question. So there's a lot of movies that are coming out this year that were supposed to come out last year. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a ton of stuff slated for 2020, and then like COVID happened and all the movie theaters shut down. And so these production companies were left with a choice. They could either market their stuff to streaming services and catch the at-home crowd, or they could push these big titles until 2021 or 2022 or whenever it was safe for us to start filling up movie theaters again. And so my question to you, John Deck, is what title that was delayed from 2020 are you most excited for?
See, that's a good question.
Well, of course it is. If, I fucking asked it.
Well, no, that's not how it usually works. if we were doing this, you know, a few months ago, I might have said like The Quiet Place 2 as one that got delayed and then to be excited and stuff. But we're not doing this a few months ago. We're doing it today.
Correct.
Start of July. So that's in the past. So I'd
say... I still need to watch that, by the way.
You're a horrible person.
I am. Well, look how long it took me to watch A Quiet... I didn't watch A Quiet Place until we were doing this podcast. And you were like, you need to go watch A Quiet Place.
That does sound a lot like me. Was Top Gun Maverick supposed to come out last year?
Mm-hmm. It was supposed to come out Christmas weekend, I think, in 2020.
Interesting. Just for fun, I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I'm sure... Oh, no. That was a joke. Are you awake? I'm testing you. The answer is The French Dispatch.
The French Dispatch.
Wes Anderson's next movie.
Oh, of course.
And if that wasn't it, the answer would have been Dune. But the answer is The French Dispatch. I said the whole Top Gun thing is a joke.
I mean, Top Gun is a solid answer. Like, it's probably just going to be a dumb movie about flying jets. But, like, I'm still kind of excited for it.
No, I hear the jets don't fly in this one.
What?
That's the big twist.
Do they swim?
All the trailers lied to us.
Are they swimming jets?
No, they just, it's just Tom Cruise sitting in the cockpit, just going to be like, pew, 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 pew,
with Danger Zone playing the whole time.
Yeah. Which, by the way, when you were bringing up Lana Wachowski from Matrix 4, then I just wanted to start screaming Lana and then ask about Danger Zone.
Danger Zone!
Yeah, so that's what I... That's what's waiting for me. Like, we talked about Nightmare Alley and all that. I think French Dispatch could also be like a serious contender personally. If I hadn't gotten that letter from the future, I might have said the French Dispatch, because in my heart I want, you know, Wes Anderson to get those kinds of honors.
Well,
but,
sure, of course you do.
But let me just tell you, and this is no surprise because his movies always have these huge casts with great people in it, but like Frances McDormand, Benicio del Toro, Christoph Waltz, Adrian Brody, Tilda Swinton, Timothy Chalamet, Willem Dafoe, Owen Wilson, Edward Norton, Saoirse Ronan, Bill Murray, Jason Schwartzman, Liv Schreiber, Elizabeth Moss. Like, it's just insane.
I was going to say that you had me at Christoph Waltz, but you kept going and it just kept getting even better. So.
Yeah. And like to combine that with the writing and the sets and the songs and the colors. And oh my God, I'm so excited. I think that's October. I can't remember, but it's not that far away.
French Dispatch is not October.
Huh.
Is it November?
Please say July 2nd. Please say July 2nd.
Oh, it's not coming out. They canceled it.
Oh, October 22nd. I can use the internet too.
Oh, it is there. I must have missed it. Okay. I'm looking at a list. I'm not like searching. So
what's your answer?
My answer. I mean, I was really looking forward to Black Widow, and I still am. I don't know if that's necessarily my answer, though. I was looking forward to No Time to Die too. It's probably Dune.
Hmm.
Like there are so many like great incarnations of Dune and ways that story has been told. And I think that this one is going to be pretty good too. One thing about Dune is I kind of wish that they would like do an Amazon series, because there's so many there's so many side stories and like, so you could totally turn Dune into a like Game of Thrones length series and have it be hugely successful.
Well, it's funny, I had this discussion maybe about like half a year after Game of Thrones ended, which is like, what's the next property? Because there's all the talk, is it going to be, you know, some Lord of the Rings spinoff? You know, is it going to be like, what's going to be the next big huge thing? And someone was saying how you could take Dune and do that, and then someone else was talking about I think the Foundation series with Isaac Asimov, which is actually turning into a thing on Apple TV, and it's supposed to be.
Is it really?
Yeah, so like all like these things are all turning. It's like people are, well, I mean, Dune's not becoming a series as of yet, but I agree that that could have been a just an amazing series. Well,
and there's like the alleged Dark Tower series that is or isn't coming out, and there's but there's so many opportunities to really take these epic stories that we grew up reading and all that and having it become something that's live action but isn't rushed in a movie. So because they try to adapt all these books into movies, and you only have 2.5 or 3 hours to really hold on to an audience, and it sucks because you miss out on so much of that story because they don't take their time. They have to leave out so much. So to turn something like that into a movie, or what I would actually like to see is the Rama series, like Arthur C. Clarke's Rama series, turned into even if it's just like a one season, like a single season, like 8 or 10 episode kind of deal. I think that'd be awesome.
Well, we'll see if those predictions turn into real life as well.
Yeah. What's next, John?
Well, next, I did want to ask you to kind of anticipate, again, the future. Are there any movies coming out that you see as a surprise? Meaning, maybe people have never heard the title before. Maybe people think it's not going to be amazing, like The Matrix 4. Maybe people think, you know, like, it's just off the radar and they're not, you know, considering it, but you'd like to say, you know what, keep an eye open for this little fella, he's gonna be a star. Like, anything speak to you?
Well, so it's funny that you asked that question, because as I was doing research for this last night, two things kind of came across my purview or whatever. Like I was watching trailers, and somebody pointed me to Jolt, which I thought was sort of a weird title for a movie. And so I pulled up the trailer and watched it, and it looks pretty neat. I don't know that it's necessarily a contender for anything. It's got Kate Beckinsale, Stanley Tucci. Who else is in this? There's a fair number of Laverne Cox is in this. And it's very like what's that movie, Crank. It's very Crank-esque in like the sort of the way that it appears to be trying to tell the story. Like, it's the Kate Beckinsale character is like trying to do a thing and has to fight her way through everyone to get to it. So it seems very cool. And in that kind of same vein, I ran across a movie called Gunpowder Milkshake. And I ran across this a few weeks ago and saw the trailer, and I thought it was very cool. It's got Karen Gillan. It's got Michelle Yeoh. Lena Headey is in it. Like, there's Angela Bassett. Like, there's a lot of cool names. Paul Giamatti attached to this. And I want to see it really, really bad. It makes me think of, like, especially with Paul Giamatti being in it, Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah, totally. I get that vibe as well. It's funny you mentioned those are both, I believe, direct streaming movies.
They are.
Which it's funny because my pick in that whole like, if you have two, I kind of have two, but one of mine is streaming and one's not. So I'll just say the streaming one. Well, actually, you'll find out if our predictions are on point because it will already be out by the time this is released on Monday. Tomorrow, July 2nd, is the Tomorrow War.
Uh-huh.
With one of the Chris's.
Yep. Chris...
Ajax.
Yep, Chris Ajax. Chris Ajax.
You know the Chris.
Yep, Chris... what the hell
is his last name? Perumpinchin.
Yep, Chris Cumberbatch. Why can't I remember his name?
I refuse to use the internet to remember his last name.
Chris Star-Lord.
Yeah, Chris Star-Lord. Andy Dwyer.
Chris Pratt.
So yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. It doesn't look like it is 100% shattering expectations. Like there have been several movies that I feel like this is in the similar vein as, but the production values look really high and it looks like it just might turn out to be a great little sci-fi flick, and I'm pretty excited about it, and I don't have to wait long. I can see tomorrow. But in terms of things that are kind of came out of nowhere, I kind of did, you know, similar to you, every once in a while I'll just go on a tear where I'll just watch a bunch of movie previews, and I saw this one just maybe a couple weeks ago, and I just think it might be a magical little film. It's called The Green Knight.
I saw that name pop up, and I haven't looked.
Yeah, you'll definitely dig it. I think you should see the trailer. It's a retelling of Gawain and the Knights of the Round Table. It's got like Dev Patel is in it, and it just looks like really interestingly filmed artistically. Like it looks like, oh, like this isn't just some generic Robin Hood remake that's going to be just a yawn fest. This is like digging into the lore and leaning into the fantastical elements of this knight, you know, needing to prove himself and his valor and being tested, but in a really cool fantasy element world. So yeah, that comes out.
Aaron Kellerman's in it too. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's like the end of July, I think. So it's not too far off. And yeah, definitely yourself and anyone else should just check out the trailer because I think it's going to be rather good.
I will. When we're done recording, I'm going to watch that. Cool. We talked a lot about stuff that we're excited about and predictions that we think about movies that are going to do well and stuff like that. What are you least excited for?
Well, yeah, that's a tough one just because there's plenty. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, I don't care about Paw Patrol, the movie, because of course I don't care.
Well, of course. But I mean, should. If we're talking about stuff that's marketed toward you.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to say,
excited for?
I'm going to go ahead and hang a medal around the neck of the movie Old.
God damn it.
Did I steal your
You
thunder?
Sure did.
It's not that hard for, I mean, that this is not a shocker that we both.
Not at all. Honestly, I haven't watched a Shyamalan movie since like The Last Airbender. And after that and The Happening, like I just got really pissed off at M. Night Shyamalan for years. Like, I didn't even watch Split or Glass. Like, I was just like, fuck this guy. I'm done watching his movies. Now, I will probably end up watching Old. And I will probably go back and watch Split and Glass, too. Because I'm a fucking sucker and will probably, like, hate myself for doing all those movies. But I will do it anyway.
Let me tell you, it's not that they're perfect, but both Split and Glass have elements of goodness to them. As opposed to The Happening or... you know, whatever else you referenced that I've tried to put out of my mind as soon as I could. Split especially, like, even just the performance of James McAvoy, like, alone. And then with Glass, I feel like the premise was so much better than the movie and how it played out, but still worth witnessing, just not brilliant, because I feel like he dropped the ball a bit, which I know is going to shock you to think that M. Night Shyamalan dropped the ball post the year
2004. That's not the M. Night I know.
I saw the trailer for Old and I was like, huh, what are the odds that I could watch this and not hate myself the next day for spending 2 hours on it? And I'm like, pretty slim.
It looks so bad.
I don't think he's right in the ship on this one.
It looks so, so dumb. Like, how did you come up with this?
Yeah.
Moving right. I don't want to spend too much time and bring the whole show down for movies we're not excited for. I will say in that in the running for movies I was least excited for was The Eternals and The Tomorrow War. I'm not very excited for The Tomorrow War. I think it's going to probably be dumb. But that's,
I hate you.
I could be wrong about The Tomorrow War.
You might be wrong, but you might be right.
It looks very like Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't feel totally fresh and new, but to quote Billy Joel, you may be right. But I'm still looking forward to it, and because mostly because it's tomorrow and then it's like now and I can watch it and we'll see.
There is a certain bit of instant gratification that comes along with it. Let's move into, so we talked about streaming, let's talk about what performances we think will be amazing in the coming six-ish months remaining of 2021.
Well, again, I hate to do this to you, but I've got this sheet of paper, and not only is it's kind of hard to really dwell on other people when I know who's going to win like the Oscars for best performances.
But I don't always trust the Academy either.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point because, you know, Frances McDormand is great and all, but like, how could she just keep winning Oscars? Surely someone else should get one. She's got more Oscars than that one woman who everyone says is Meryl Streep. Who of course is Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I think here's the one I think that's going to come out of nowhere, and you probably haven't heard about this and definitely haven't seen anything about it, but there's a couple of different musicals coming out that are fairly big that people are excited about, big name like West Side Story, things like that. But then there's one or two original musical movies that are coming out this year. And at the end of the year, right around Christmas time, is a musical, I believe the title, maybe a working title or the actual title, called Cyrano, about Cyrano de Bergerac, with Peter Dinklage as Cyrano.
Ooh.
And it's a musical, and I don't know if I've ever heard him sing. And
I've heard him sing once, and it's a small sidetrack. I heard him sing once, and he was like on a radio show, or maybe he was on like Howard Stern or something like that. And he said that he wrote the theme song to Game of Thrones, and he sang it, and it was just Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, and it's him singing this over and over and over again. And so that's the only time that I've heard him sing, but he's quite good. I think he'd do okay.
But yeah, I particularly, you know, in that role, it's like, oh, so yeah, I think he's going to be that dark horse performance. Not necessarily an Oscar winner, but, you know, certainly possible. But yeah, I've been looking for him to have a role that he could really sink his teeth into. He's had a lot of one-offs, some comedy, some Marvel stuff that, you know, it's like, whatever, it's just kind of there, but nothing, you know, impressive. And that I've witnessed, you know, since Game of Thrones, where he was by far my favorite, you know, person on the show. And so I really look forward to that.
So I like your term dark horse, because I feel like this is probably going to be in that sort of same, that same category. There's a movie coming out, that is, I had no idea was coming out. It's a prequel to The Sopranos called The Many Knights of Newark. The Many Saints of Newark. And it's the story of young Tony Soprano. And Tony Soprano is being played by Michael Gandolfini, who is James Gandolfini's son. And the spitting image of his father. And I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be a breakout performance. I think he's going to just judging by the trailer, I think he's going to fucking kill it. You got Corey Stoll as Junior Soprano, by the way, and Ray Liotta's in it, and Johnny Bernthal, and Leslie Odom Jr. There's a lot of really cool names attached to this, and I'm really, really excited. If any of you are Sopranos fans, you are almost certainly also excited.
I thought when you're talking prequel, I thought you were going to bring up The King's Man.
No, although that is coming out as well. Though I do have to say, full disclosure, I never watched any of the Kingsman movies.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
You know what? Buckle garbage. Up, because I've never seen The Sopranos.
What?
I win.
That's very shocking.
Well, there you go.
That's more shocking than me not having seen the Kingsman movies. But, all right. So we are getting close to the end of the show here. I think we have one more prediction left. Would you say, John?
Yeah, it sounds like.
Is there anything else besides this last one that we wanted to?
Well, I'm trying to remember when we were talking about anticipating sequels. Did I give an answer?
Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
We'll roll back the tape. You said The Matrix 4.
Yep, that's it. Oh, that's right, because we're talking about hopeful things, not necessarily what we think will be the best that we're excited about. Okay, that's what happened. That's right.
Did you have something else sequel related you want to talk about?
It wasn't Resident Evil. Welcome to Raccoon City. I'll tell you that much. No.
Fuck.
No, I just wanted to say that. Now that it's escaping my mind. Oh, the James Bond movie, No Time to Die.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for most James Bond movies, and I really enjoy what's his face. So
Daniel Craig.
No, I'm just kidding. Daniel.
I mean, the other Ralph answer would have been Rami Malek, but
I'm a little bit worried about him. But then again, I get worried about a lot of the people playing Bond villains. but no, I think having just seen one of the trailers recently, I don't know, a little while ago, and just given me a few of those little fun James Bond thrills, I was like, oh, cool. So that's if we call that a sequel.
No, I would say it's pretty much a sequel, and there's so much like strife associated with the making of this particular Bond movie. Like, I want to see it just for like my own closure of, oh wow, this is all the shit that went down. Now we get to see the final cut, and so yeah, I'm excited for it as well. And Billie Eilish's opening theme.
Yeah, I think that could be really great.
All right, so we have our final prediction here. What movie will make the most money, John?
me.
So of all the movies remaining to come out in 2021, which one will make the most money?
I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm going to swing in and tell you what I think.
So, I had two possible answers here, and now I've, like, thinking about it today, because I wrote these down last night, I kind of had a change of heart. So, initially, my thought was it would be either Ghostbusters or Top Gun Maverick. And my heart was saying Ghostbusters, my brain was saying Top Gun, But now I'm thinking that might be wrong. I think that the number one grossing movie for the remainder of 2021 is going to be Space Jam: A New Legacy. I think that there's enough fan base for LeBron and for a new Space Jam movie that people are just gonna eat it up, and it's gonna ride number one for weeks, and it's gonna outgross anything else that's coming out for the rest of this year.
I will bet you $43 million that you're wrong.
Sure. I'll
show me
that,
show me the money.
All right.
Not the table.
All right.
No.
Let me open this suitcase full of unmarked bills. Click, click. There you go.
Listen, you've done a pretty good job this episode, in my esteem, of having some good thoughts and picks and opinions. You picked the correct answer for what movie is going to suck beyond anything else. But
Hold on, before you finish that sentence, I do want to make clear, I do not think that this is going to be a good movie. I do not think that Space Jam is going to be some revelation. I don't think it's going to outdo the original Space Jam. I'm simply saying it's going to make the most money.
It might make the most money out of Space Jam movies. But I am 100% positive it's not going to come close to cracking the top 10. I think it's going to do fine. It's going to make money, but it's not going to be anywhere close. The correct answer, and you have some potential upsets there when you mentioned Ghostbusters and Top Gun, but the correct answer is going to be Spider-Man. By a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man's going to make a lot of money for sure.
Because number one, it's going to be closer to Christmas. And unless, this is, of course, we get predictions and things about movies. We can't always predict, you know, virus variants and crazy stuff like that. But assuming we continue on this trajectory, we're going to be moving more and more to where going out and stuff is more normal. It's going to be the Christmas season. It's a Spider-Man movie. And by all accounts, it seems like, you know, there's potential for it to have many different Spider-Men in it, different eras. There's going to be a lot of excitement. And I think we're talking about like about an $800 million movie right here.
Well, you could be right.
So anyway, Space Jam, A New Legacy.
I'm not going to say like, no, John Deck, you are wrong and I'm right. And Space Jam Legacy is going to blow Spider-Man out of the water. It's good. Just, I'm right.
I mean, we'll have this will be archived and the internet will know the true story.
We'll revisit this on our Roscoe's episode.
We'll definitely have like three alternative edits of this podcast all online, and we can say, no, that wasn't the original one. We go back and, I won't leave this part in the podcast, but we should go back and re-edit this thing at the end of the year, but just put in all the correct predictions of exactly what happens. Be like, it's July 2nd, and no one could have predicted that Tom Holland would have married Zendaya, you know, a week before the movie opened, but we knew it. And, you know, like all that kind of stuff. I think.
The top grossing movie will be The Eternals.
Yeah. Well, no one thinks it's going to be good, but it turns out Eternals will be the best movie anyone's ever seen before. followed under that, Old.
Old, oh my God, Old did just
the
so
two best
great.
Movies of the year.
Man, who knew?
Well, I guess all we can do now is kind of wrap things up and then wait for 6 months to pass.
No shit. All right, thanks so much for listening to our show, everyone. Thanks for joining us every week as we distill another favorite from our past. We have new episodes every Monday, so come and hang out with us on Apple and Stitcher and Spotify and Google Podcasts and tmbpod.com. You can get us all those places and many, many more. And come check us out next week. We will have an actual movie next week to watch and enjoy with you.
Yeah.
The listener.
And, you know, Anthony was talking about Billie Eilish doing the theme song for our podcast. And, you know, I'm guessing by the end of the year, that's going to be a reality. So she's got a lot on her plate right now between that James Bond movie and Not Letting Us Down. In the meantime, we'll continue to use Destroying the Evidence by Semaphore, which you guys should also be checking out. It's a great song, great to work out to, great to plan your evening to, and also really especially good when you're cleaning out the attic.
Oh boy.
Which happens a lot in the summer as you prepare for Christmas. So, if you have any...
That's how you find those haunted Christmas trees.
Haunted Christmas trees fresh out of the attic.
Yep.
So here we are. It's summertime. We want you to email us at thememorydistillery@gmail.com and tell us what Christmas movies we should be watching right now. If you're afraid to do that, then, you know, no one's going to call you a chicken. So, but, you know you are. You could also tweet us. You can tweet us if you're chicken at TMD Pod. Wow. Whew. I can't believe I don't have any kids. I'm get those dad jokes.
You have dad jokes for days, John.
Speaking of dad jokes for days, I do want to thank you guys again for listening. This has been the multi-annual
the multiverse of movie predictions.
This has been the star-studded, full of actor impression movies of the year.
Oh,
summer edition with myself, John Deck, and
Anthony Vernari. And this has been the Memory Distillery. And I'm right.
This has been the Memory Distillery is correct. Everything else questionable at best.
Okay, I'm sorry. Are you questioning that I'm Anthony Vernari?
That is also up for debate. That and your very optimistic monetary goals for Space Jam.
Fair.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.